Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hi, this is Samantha.
And this is Anuel.
And this is Murderous Intention. Alright guys, so being it's Saturday, September 11th, we are going to talk about the significance of this day and where everything led to. Mm-hmm. So most people, especially the younger ones, they come into this where, oh, okay, so the war started because, you know, all the actions that took place on 9/11.
Right.
No, there's actually further detail to what exactly happened and what led up to that devastating time for us in the United States. So I created a timeline that basically takes us from when everything started to happen to when everything happened on September 11th. I'm not going to go into further, like, into really high detail of what happened after September 11th, because it's just a lot of things that happened. But I do want to explain to everybody what happened prior and how everything happened that morning.
Yeah. Surprised me with some dates, so I can't wait.
Yeah. So I want to ask a quick question. Where were you on September 11th?
I was in Puerto Rico in my mother's house. We were watching a Spanish midday show, and we got the, it wasn't even 12 o'clock, it was earlier. We were sitting down for breakfast. So the news broke out all over when the first plane hit. And my mother looked at me, and I looked at my mother, and I'm like, with the first plane crashing, I said, ooh, that's a terrorist attack. She's like, no, the driver was drunk, the driver was high, like, everything else but that. As everybody knows, or most people know, the second one hit, and I looked at my mother, with that, like, told you. And she's like, oh my God, it is a terrorist attack. Without, until, you know, then days later, we find out, actually, it was a terror attack. But, yeah, that's where I was. Where were you?
So, I was actually getting into my class. I was also in Puerto Rico. And so, what happened was, when I entered the class, my whole classroom went quiet. And they looked at me, and I'm like, oh, what? So, I'm checking myself, you know, like, Did I miss a button? Am I showing something I'm not supposed to be showing?
Yeah.
You know, is my lipstick on wrong? Like, what's going on? Like, why am I being looked at?
Yeah.
And then one of my friends came to me crying and said, I am so sorry. Please tell me you did not have any family in those towers. And I'm like, so I'm drawing a blank because I haven't been in New York for quite some time at that point.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, what towers? You know?
Yeah.
I'm only thinking about the Bronx. And she says, the two tall towers in New York. And I'm like, the two tall towers. So my brain's going into overdrive. I'm like, oh, the Twin Towers, the World Trade Center. Yeah. When I said that, and she's like, yeah, the first one just got hit. And then when the second one got hit, they're like, oh my God, Sam, the other one got hit. And I'm just like, I'm sitting there in my desk, like, kind of like with the face of, what am I supposed to do? Do I have family in that building that worked there? Do I have family that work around there? where's my family that's in New York at the moment? Right. You know, and it was just all those questions and all those, what's going on? Yeah. And because I knew my aunt was a NYPD in the Bronx, my fear was, okay, she is one who will go there to protect others.
Yeah.
Is she going over there? Am I going to lose her? Am I going to see her? You know?
Yeah.
So everybody who's wondering, yes, she did go in the aftermath, like when they were doing the cleanup. She was still alive. She did eventually pass away due to a brain aneurysm due to work-related stress. But in that moment, she did, you know, she was successful. She was alive. I didn't lose any family, but to all the people who did lose family or loved ones, my heart does go out to you. Even after 20 years, I'm so sorry about your loss and the way you had to have lost your family member.
Yes, I agree. Concur.
I might cry during some of these points, just letting you guys know. So if you hear me doing a little snuffle, please bear with me, okay? So we're actually going to go all the way back to 1979. So there was this war called the Soviet versus Afghan War. So what happened was on December 24th, 1979 through February 15th, 1989, approximately 9 years, this war took place in the Democratic Republic of Afghanistan. So an important note is the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan on December 24th, 1979. So that's a pretty awesome, you know, Christmas gift.
Yeah.
You know? So they did that, but under the pretext of upholding the Soviet-Afghan Friendship Treaty. So the Afghan border borders the Russian and was always also considered important, so it's national security and a gateway to Asia. So I'm guessing like Russia had to go through Afghanistan borders to get to Asia, which I think that's a little more complicated than what it need be, but back then routes were different. So with the war starting and everything like that, so you're probably wondering, well, how does that have to do anything with US? So in 1980, President Carter initiated a program to arm the, now forgive me if I say this wrong, the Mujahideen?
Yeah.
Through the Pakistan Intelligence Service between Saudi Arabia and the U.S. So basically what they're saying is that between Saudi Arabia and the U.S., we were sending money and weapons through Pakistan, but it ended up becoming where that led to a fraud.
Oh, okay.
So the money and the weapons weren't actually being where it was supposed to be destined to go. I really couldn't find any like further information on where did they go, how did it become a fraud, like what was the initial information. So I had to let go of that research. In 1981, U.S. sends the first of two packages of economic assistance and military sales to support the Pakistan's role in the war. So President Reagan at this time increased the support. It was named Operation Cyclone. It became the largest COVID operation ever, and total cost for the U.S. taxpayers was $3 billion. That's a lot, being honest.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
So then in 1987, like I said, I'm going to try to speed through everything. In 1987, U.S. provides shoulder launchers, missiles. They were called the Stingers, to the Mujahideen?
Hayden.
Sorry if I'm saying it wrong. I don't really know these terms like that.
Yeah.
Well, this actually helped them shoot down the Soviet planes and helicopters. So it made the whole war turn around, because at first the Soviets were winning like nonstop. They were winning everything. They were able to bomb everything because they had the planes. They were able to have all these things to win this war.
Yeah.
So with this missile launchers, they were able to go and start shooting down the planes, shooting down the helicopters, going distance to be able to go and win this battle. So in 1988, the Soviet soldiers started withdrawing because they determined, you know what, we're not going to win. We're going to keep fighting you, but we're not going to win because you're going to kill us more and more, and we're not doing this.
It's going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah. So between April 9th and April 15th, there was an election being held, and a coalition government was formed with the incumbent leader, Mohammad Mujib. Okay, sorry about that. My dogs decided they wanted to make their own little war over there. this leader, Mohammad Nujibullah, was at the head of everything. Mm-hmm. So on August 11th, 1988, Al-Qaeda is formed by Osama bin Laden. And it was based in Palestine. So bin Laden had a major financier he had been a major financier of the Mujahideen. Mm-hmm. Hidi? Sorry.
Hiding? Something like that.
Spending his own money and using his own connections, he also trained foreign Muslim volunteers who wished to fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yes. So then in 1989, on February 15th, the last Soviet soldiers crossed back across the border. And then in November 9th, of that same year, the Berlin Wall falls, and thus begins the end of the Soviet Union. Mm. So that's why if you ever see like a lot of those videos of the Soviet Union, you see the walls falling down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's also why.
Yeah.
So in 1990, the assassination of Mir Kahan was at the New York Marriott East Side. So this was one of the first Islamist terrorist attack in the United States soil. Mm-hmm. Then further up in 1991, bin Laden moves to Sudan, and he begins to expand Al-Qaeda using legitimate business as a front organization. So he has this like, okay, you know, that cover-up story where it's a legit business, everything seems to be good, but behind the story, there's his actual intentions, you know? So then in 1992, bin Laden begins to target U.S. military forces in the Arabian Peninsula and in the Horn of Africa. So Al-Qaeda attacks the U.S. military forces for the first time in Yemen hotel, bombing and in Aden. So then 1993, February 26th, I don't want to call him a young man because that makes him seem proper and educated. He might have been educated, but what he did was a very disgusting act, in my opinion.
Yeah.
His name was Ramzi Yusuf.
Yusuf.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He carries out the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. Now, this was in the basement part of the World Trade Center, so nothing really happened. Like, there was a minor bomb, you know, not really, it was nothing really big. So people really didn't get as severe as later on.
Gotcha.
So then in October 3rd to October 4th, 1993, 18 American servicemen were killed by Al-Qaeda trained forces in the Battle of Mogadishu.
Mm-hmm.
We're going with that.
Yeah, we're going with it.
So then in 1994, December 24th, armed Islamic group of Algeria militants attended to crash Air Force flight 8969 into the Eiffel Tower. Now that...
No.
Sure.
Air France, not Air Force. The only reason I said that because you don't want people thinking that it was Air Force One.
No. Okay. It was Air France flight 8969. Okay. But this wasn't like really successful either. So thank God.
Yes.
So then in 1995, Ramzi Yousuf is arrested in Pakistan and is discovered to have financial links to bin Laden. The U.S. intelligence link al-Qaeda to an unsuccessful assassination attempt against Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak in Ethiopia. And then in 1996, now this is going to be a long year, just to let you guys know. Yeah. In 1986, after bin Laden makes some statements regarding the United States and Saddam, Saudi Arabia, CIA agent Michael Schur creates a CIA unit called the Bin Laden Issue Station to gather intelligence on bin Laden. And if I'm right, during this time, Bill Clinton was also saying that, you know, bin Laden is going to be, like, the worst for us. He was going to have some attacks against the United States.
Yeah, I believe you told me he said he was going to be a problem.
Yeah.
No.
You know? So then, in May, bin Laden... Okay, so in May, most of Afghanistan and the al-Qaeda committed the Khobar Tower bombing, targeting American servicemen in Saudi Arabia and participated in the Operation Southern Watch. Bin Laden issues a fatwa, which is basically, he published in the Arabic language newspaper saying that he's declaring war on the United States.
Oh, okay.
And he did that in London. So the FBI and the U.S. Attorney for Southern District of New York opened a criminal file on him under the charge of seditious conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
The Taliban is... the Taliban is a radical Islamic movement, rises to power by conquering Kabul and declaring the Islamic Emirates of Afghanistan. So there was a lot of things going on in this year. Yeah. So then we're going to move forward to 1998. In February of 1998, bin Laden expands religious edict against the U.S. and allies by issuing a second fatwa on Muslims to join a jihad against Jews and Christians until the United States and Israel evacuate the Middle East, and reiterates the themes in a televised interview with ABC News. So he's basically requesting, you know, I'm going to keep on declaring war on you guys until you guys get out of the Middle East.
Yeah.
Which I'm still like, wait, we helped you guys in after, you know, the Soviet and Afghan war by providing the missiles. So you end up basically winning that fight.
Mm-hmm.
We gave you financial support, military support.
Yeah.
We provided you with... you know, weapons and everything like that. And for some odd reason, you have this thing where it's like, no, they must go kind of attitude, which is like, dude, wait a minute. Hold up.
Yeah.
Rewind. What is going on? Yeah. You know? But that's, you know, that's here nor there.
Yeah.
Some people are just oddballs.
Yeah.
So... 9/11 hijacker Muhammad Atta and associates are monitoring some some of the issues by the U.S. and Germany in their Hamburg apartment. In June 1998, the U.S. grand jury delivers a sealed indictment of Bin Laden for conspiracy to attack defense utilities of the United States. Then in August, the U.S. embassy bombings in Kenya and
Tanzania
are carried out by Al-Qaeda. Then a day later, in Mazar-i-Sharif, the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, and Al-Qaeda's 055
Brigade
massacred between 4,000 to 8,000 people, including 11 Iran diplomats. Iran threatens to intervene but relented after mediation by the United Nations. Operation Infinity reached U.S. cruise missile strikes on... sorry, guys. On Al-Qaeda training camp in class, Afghanistan, and retaliation of Al-Qaeda. The U.S. embassy bombing 2 weeks earlier. So basically, Al-Qaeda bombs the U.S. Embassy, and then 2 weeks after, you know, this whole scenario, they decide to go ahead and bomb again. And it's just like, dude, what is going on? You know?
Yeah.
So then the embassy bombing and suspect claims extensive network of Al-Qaeda sleepers agents in planning big attack inside the U.S. So that was a lot going on in 1998. Yeah. Dang. And all I was worried about was, did my uniform look right? Am I playing hard enough? Did I get all my homework done? And what was the new song by Backstreet Boys?
Yeah.
And yet he was just like, I'm going to go after this. I'm going to go after that. I'm going to do this, 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 and take this, this, this out. Oh.
Yeah. He did a lot of plotting.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it failed, it's like what they say, I want to get the saying right. I may have lost the battle, but I'm going to win the war.
That was his mindset.
Yeah, that was his mindset. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's like this other saying that I think he probably also was, in his language, probably like saying in his head was, if at first you don't succeed, try again.
Yeah.
In my case, let's not. You didn't succeed first. Leave it alone.
Yeah.
Go find another hobby, you know? Learn how to crochet. Learn how to make mud pies. You know, do something. Other than that, you know. But in 1999, Al-Qaeda is designated as a foreign terrorist organization by the U.S. Department. The United Nations Security Council passes a resolution to many that the Taliban extradite Bin Laden.
Mm-hmm.
Suicide pilot crashes into Egypt Air Flight 990 and it landed straight into the ocean. Well, it didn't land. It crashed straight into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
On October 31st, 1999. That is just crazy.
Yeah.
Right on Halloween. So it's like, you kind of want to tell yourself, like, okay, is the news joking, or is that really happened?
Yeah.
And then to find out, yeah, that really freaking happened.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, what the fringe?
Yes.
So then, in 2000, millennial attack plots for bombing in Jordan and Los Angeles International Airport are discovered and prevented Indian Airlines Flight 814 hijacked. One passenger eventually ended up dying while the others are released. Hmm. So, yeah, that was a not-so-awesome start. like they found all the information and they were able to kind of like help stop the hijacking from succeeding in what they wanted to do. The only sad part was that one person did die from it. So then on October 12, 2000, the USS Cole is bombed in Yemen by the Al-Qaeda. And it wasn't like it was just, you know, bomb on the top and boom, that's it. You know, we could patch that up. It was actually bombed directly at water level, which was in the cafeteria. And there was a couple people there. I think, I don't remember exact number of how many got injured, but there were some that got injured, and it was where they had to, like, fix it real quick, which, thank God, this was a Navy ship, which they didn't have the equipment to be able to fix their stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
That's crazy.
It is. It's like, why? Like, what was the purpose?
Yeah.
So then, on September 9th, 2001, and now, as you can tell, we're getting very close.
We're close now. Yes.
To our timeline.
Yeah.
Al-Qaeda assassinates Ahmed Shah's Mossad. He's the commander of the Northern Alliance in the Afghan Civil War. And the thing is, U.S. doesn't find out that he was assassinated until the 14th of September.
Oh, wow.
And once they killed him, Bin Laden was able to do basically whatever he want, because this guy was basically like, you know, someone who he would go and he had alliance with the U.S.
Gotcha.
So if the U.S. was to come to him and say, hey, we want this person, he will go ahead and say, okay, let me send my military to go and help with that.
So from what I'm seeing, and I'm not giving what I think about this whole thing, but he's moving like a chess, a master in chess, taking out pieces that he needs to get to the eventual goal, which is like, damn, he's brilliant, but I hate him, you know, at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. He has a very brilliant mind.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of people tend to forget, is that people from these, from like the Middle East, from those areas, are very intelligent.
Mm.
But it's just sad that some of them take it to a negative effect. And it's sad even when our guys in the U.S. become, you know, who are so smart, they decide to start doing bombings, or they decide to start doing, you know, serial killing. And you're just like, dude, you could have been something like, wow. You know, had all this positive, you know, attention to you. Why go for the negative? It's either going to get you killed or in jail.
And it's kind of weird. You know, we discuss a lot about serial killers and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And we always comment how brilliant they are and how they did it, as evil as it was. But none of them were dummies. You know, like, you can't be a dummy to plot and do everything you had to do to kill as many people as you did. So,
yeah.
And to me, this is just as much of a serial killing as any other. I think it's even bigger than most of the ones we've discussed so far.
If he was to be put into about serial killing, he would be a massive serial killer.
Yeah.
Because he does things with the intent to kill a massive amount of people.
Yeah.
You know? I don't think he flies into the spree killer, because he doesn't just kill and then that's it for him.
No.
He little by little starts taking the lives of people.
Yeah.
And he even manipulates people to thinking that what he's saying is the right course. Which it shows how he is.
And I gotta say, I mean, brainwashing has to be part of his
method.
Yeah, part of his tools and his tool chest, because you don't have that many people. At least I wouldn't do it, but I know a lot of people that wouldn't. That would, here, here's your vest.
Mm-hmm.
Go on this plane, you know, get to New York, and then however many weeks later, go on this other plane, and then press the button.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He had to be either they're very devoted or they've been brainwashed. One or the other, yeah. In my opinion.
Well, what I've also, so on the documentary on Netflix, and I think it might be just for the short amount of period of time that we're into the September month, mm-hmm. They also say how a lot of the ones who were the hijackers for the planes, a lot of them came in like 2 years prior to the event.
Yeah.
A lot of them were living in Los Angeles, or they were living in, like, Virginia, and then they slowly started moving towards their destination area.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was some that who were living in New Jersey, but they were scheduled for the Boston bombing.
Right.
Then, when it was closer to that date, they moved to Boston. Right. So that way, it kind of had that. It had looked like, you know, okay, I'm not comfortable in this area. Let me move to this area.
Yeah.
And it didn't look so, what? And then it was just like, there's so much detail, and they go into so much detail that if I was ever to try to, like, reenact and redo everything that they said, I think it would take about, like, 4 to 5 podcasts of ours.
Yeah.
To get all the details that they said.
And at least an hour plus on each podcast. Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. Because there's a lot of details. There's a lot of emotional, like the, I definitely would say the first 2 episodes, you would need a box of tissues next to you,
mm-hmm.
because it's very emotional. For me, that first episode, it took me, I had to watch 10 minutes and then pause and take a break from it,
mm-hmm.
because it was bringing back emotions. It was seeing things, hearing things.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I can't, I would have to stop. And then, you know, a couple hours later, I'll come back, watch 10 to 15 more minutes of it, and then pause. And then it took me a while to get through the first episode. The second episode, I was able to, like, I had to actually wash the dishes while listening to it and watching it, so that way I wasn't so focused on it, because I just didn't want to have to go through the same emotional feeling.
Yeah.
And the last thing you ever want is for your kids to be like, why are you crying? And then
yeah.
have to explain that detail.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So now we're going to go into the day of September 11th. And like I said, if you want to grab your tissues, I would definitely do so. This may have some effect on you. If you don't want to hear the details of it, that's fine. I appreciate you listening so far. You can always come back to our podcast next week. Like I said, it is solely up to you. Don't do anything that's going to make you have mental strain or feel any PTSD. All right?
Yes.
So, on September 11th at 7:59, American Airlines flight 11 takes off from Boston Logan International Airport, bound to Los Angeles International Airport. So then at 8:14 a.m., flight 11 is hijacked. United Airlines flight 175 takes off from Boston Logan International Airport, also bound for Los Angeles International Airport as well.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. And then at 8:20, American Airlines Flight 77 takes off from Washington Dulles International Airport, also bound for Los Angeles.
Wow.
At 8:42, United Airlines Flight 93 takes off from Newark Airport, bound for San Francisco International Airport. So all these airplanes are destined to go to California.
Yeah.
So between 8:42 and 8:46, flight 175 is hijacked. At 8:46, flight 11 crashes into the North Tower of the World Trade Center between the 93rd and the 99th floor. So that's a That's 6 floors.
6 floors, yeah.
You know? At 8:50 to 8:54, Flight 77 is hijacked. And then at 9:03 a.m., Flight 175 crashes into the South Tower of the World Trade Center between the 77th and the 85th floor. So that's a big chunk. Then at 9:28, Flight 93 is hijacked. At 9:37 a.m., Flight 77 crashes into the Pentagon. And there's like a lot of people that said who were in the external part of the Pentagon, they had a quicker chance to be able to get out. And a lot of people, you know, like a lot of us will say, oh, why is the Pentagon shaped like that? You know, granted, yes, Pentagon shaped like a Pentagon. Cool. Right. But why does it have that opening in the middle? You know, why is it designed like that? And if you look at it now, it served a purpose because it was less of an impact and more time for people to get out. Yeah. So then at 9:59, the South Tower collapses. Now remember, a bunch of floors was crashed into, was missing. So if you pay attention, and they do show this in the video, the South Tower, when it collapses, it comes outwards. And then at 10:03 a.m., Flight 93 crashes into a field of Shanksville, Pennsylvania, which this is the only plane that everybody, all the passengers knew, were not going to make it. And then there was like 3 to 4 guys who decided to band up and say, you know what, we're not doing this. They kind of like found out, oh, the thing with the tower and everything like that and the Pentagon. And they were basically destined to say, nope, we're not doing this. So I think it was originally supposed to crash into the Capitol. But instead, they took over and everybody called their families and said their goodbyes. And they crashed into that field. And unfortunately, they lost their life, but they were heroes. They were sheroes, as a lot of people would say. You know, they took the courage to say, you know what? No, not on our watch. So my heart goes out to them, and to everybody who were heroes that day, who went and did what they had to do. And then finally, at 10:28 a.m., the North Tower collapsed, but this one, it collapsed inward. So the North Tower held on pretty strong, you know. She didn't have a lot of floors that was, it was only 6 flights that the airplane took. So people had more time to be able to get and evacuate. Unfortunately, that doesn't mean everybody got out, you know, because you couldn't use the elevators, you couldn't use any possible way that would normally get you out quicker. It became to a point where you could see people dropping out of the building, because they were stuck at the top and there was no way to get out. And I saw, because they do show a one part where a couple people were dropping and it looked like they thought, well, if I land on the, you know how like a lot of, restaurants, they have that shade thing.
Yeah.
And I guess if you see a lot of movies, you think, okay, maybe I could land on that, bounce off of it, and, you know, yes, maybe I'll have an injured leg or whatnot, and I could be safe from this catastrophe. Unfortunately, when you're jumping from, you know, 110th floor, you're going, one, at high speeds. Two, by the time you land, if your heart didn't give out already...
Oh, it would have.
You know,
it definitely would have.
You're going faster than a car, being honest.
Yeah.
You know?
And all that air filling your lungs, too. That's the problem.
Yeah. Because you're so high up.
Yeah.
And then the thing is that they will land not on it. They would just go straight through it. And that, I think that was, like, where it was, I had to pause it. I was like, no, I can't. You know, I can look at crime scene stuff. I can look at some really gruesome stuff. But in human nature, seeing somebody feel that, I'd rather jump and have the chance of, you know, 90 out of 10 dying than being burnt alive. I understand that, because you want to be, you feel in your head, I'll be whole and my loved ones could be able to do the funeral and whatnot. But it tends to take a toll on any human being, where it's like, why did this have to happen? You know, this was unnecessary. People didn't have to die because somebody had nothing better to do, you know. So after that, after they started, you know, doing cleanups and everything like that, we end up having a tribute light ceremony. I say it as New York as a whole. You know, they had the light tribute ceremony for the towers, and that lasted for a while. Then they did the cleanup, where they actually took a free landfill that had nothing on it yet, and they put the items there. Still to this day, there's about like 150 people who are still missing, or have not been identified yet.
Wow.
So either their body hasn't been found, or they don't have the DNA to know who they are yet.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, and it's sad, but it's part of what happened this day, and it's a day we look at and we're like, okay, you know what? We are United States strong.
Yeah.
We are stronger than what people presume we are, and we can always come on top. I feel like every time there's an action happening with us, that's when we do bound together, and we stop our little stuff and we come together. And honestly, we should be like that no matter what happens. But unfortunately, sometimes it takes a hard blow to wake a nation up, you know. And that day, it woke us up. It shook us up.
Sure, yeah.
You know, it told us, stop taking information and not looking at it with a clear view, you know. We did eventually, and like I said, when I say we, it's not us. It's, you know, United States military. Greatly, they served their country. They went out to Afghanistan, fought a war. A lot of them lost their lives, lost limbs, came back with severe PTSD. And we finally did get to go ahead and kill a lot of the ones who, you know, conspired to this and was associated to this. Bin Laden was one of those people, which he was hiding in a cave. So, like, a lot of people, when we found out that he was killed, we rejoiced. We was like, thank God, you know, end of it. But then ISIS came along, and that just became where it's, okay, now we have Al-Qaeda, now we have Taliban, now we have ISIS. And it was just one thing after another. And still to this day, as you can all tell by the news, we're still fighting a lot of this stuff. So even though the original purpose of the war is over, we still have families in Afghanistan battling just to make sure things are, you know, okay. Little by little, they're starting to retrieve and bring back our military force back home. But until then, we can only say, you know, let's hope for the best. Let's be strong, and let's, yeah. What's your opinion?
Okay. We know that this happened in New York. Mm-hmm. And when you now when you look back at it, yeah, it shook us, like you said, that's 100% correct. But it didn't only shook the United States. Since that day, as many people know that are living it, try to get on an airport and see how easy that is. Try to get on an airplane and see how easy that is, I should say. Everybody's defenses are up. England, Russia, wherever you go. So not only did it shake us, it shook the world. Months later, we seen pictures from England and Europe and other places around the world holding up signs, holding up our flags, you know, kind of like being in the moment with us. So that's one thing. So it didn't, you know, I mean, definitely shook us. It was the United States. But the way the world responded to it was awesome, in my opinion. Secondly, the people, the four or five men that had that plane crash in that field, I consider heroes, because it was going for the Capitol. It wanted to destroy a lot more than what it didn't get to destroy at all. Mm-hmm. Aside from that, everyone who died that day are heroes. I gotta make sure I say that, because what they did, they just died. I know some people have that opinion, but they weren't meant to die. If this didn't happen, they would not have died. But yeah, I mean, 20 years later, we still say we will never forget. And I personally, as well as I think I can honestly say for Sammy as well, we will never forget that day. Every year, we all come to the question of, where were you on 9/11? And, I also consider the firemen, the ambulance, the firefighters, all those people that came in to the scene afterwards, and all the problems that they ended up with. You know, mm-hmm. Lung problems. I forget what it's called. I don't think it's asbestos, but some type of...
Not Lyme. Oh my God, I forgot the name.
But they had health problems. A lot of people died from that, from just inhaling the fumes of that. Yeah. So, it's an emotional day for all of us. And it's something that we should always remember. I mean, a lot of people say, it's done, it's over, leave it alone. I understand those people too, because they don't want to they want to relive it. And every year, if you look at the news, you hear, like yesterday, I had to walk away because they were talking to the kids of 9/11. I'm like, nope, I'm done. Sorry, I can't. You know, that made me emotional. So, 20 years later, and as Sammy asked me, where were you? I can remember as if it was yesterday.
It's something that made an impact
in
everybody's life.
Yeah.
You know, everybody knows exactly where they were when they heard it.
Yeah.
Or when they saw it. There was people who were filming what was going on. And then when when South Tower collapsed, it was, as one of the guys explained, it was like watching a grayish white, which I'm like, okay, blob with the mouth open, mm-hmm. consuming people.
Yeah.
Now this, the cloud of dust wasn't just paper and dust particles. Yeah. It had glass in it. Yeah. So there were people who were getting knocked out because of the intense wind volume. Was just like, wow. Then also, if there was debris involved and you got hit with it, you got hit hard.
Yeah.
A lot of people were hiding in the stores. A lot of people were hiding behind vehicles, behind buildings, trying to avoid it. And also in the video, you'll see like where people are like, they're starting to see that the smoke is heading their way, and you'll see like a lot of the cops, the secrets, detectives, mm-hmm. everybody was out there, and they're just like telling everybody, no, just run. And then one lady, she was interviewed, and she said when her and her other work colleagues got out, they would look, they saw a cop, and they said, where do we run to? And he says, just run.
Yeah, it don't really matter.
Yeah. And she's like, well, where do we run? He's like, you're going to run until you cannot run no more.
Right.
Which was basically, you're going to run until you can get clearly away from the area and be safe. So, yeah, it's today's day, it's emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you're doing something today, and there's going to be a moment where you have that quietness,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to come into your head.
Yeah.
I personally say, think about it. Use it as a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
To think about how grateful you should be to be alive, to breathe, you know, to just be human and just be here in the moment. And never to go and, you know, say your life doesn't matter, because apparently it does. If not, there wouldn't have been people fighting for you. There wouldn't have been people making sure us as the United States, as a whole nation, is secure, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big proponent of saying thank you to the police, the fire department, the ambulance, all those, what we consider now, or what always has been, but what actually was named the essential workers.
Mm-hmm.
Military people, thank them.
Yeah.
Because if it wasn't for them, who knows how bad this would have gotten, and we probably would have been all dead right now.
Yeah.
You know, like, the world probably would not have existed if it wasn't for those special people that, and heroes that do their job every day and run into fires and run into shootings and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's true.
So, last thing for me, I will never forget, and 9/11 will live on forever, because we can't forget it, no matter what happens.
True. So, well, that is all for today. See you guys next week on Murderous Intentions. If you want to support us, go ahead and listen to our podcast. We're on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, and so forth. Also, if you have any questions or want to communicate with us or give us your recommendation for a case, email us at murderousintention21@gmail.com. Am I missing anything?
Don't forget, Instagram, Twitter, we, Murderous Intentions there. Twitter's a little different. Am I
True Crime Podcast?
Yes. So, definitely. Let us know what you think. Any cases that you think we should do, we would love to hear from you.
All right, guys. Good night and farewell. Stay safe.